eternal God, in the reading of the Scripture, may your word be heard in the meditations of our hearts. May your word be known, and in the faithfulness of our lives, may your word be shown. Amen. The Scripture reading, the Old Testament Scripture reading this morning is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, and it can be found on page 157 of your pew Bible. Let's open our hearts and minds as we read from the book of the Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. And you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. The New Testament reading is Luke chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. Can be found on page 911 and 912 of your pew Bible. Now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked him. But Jesus called them to him, saying, Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. This is the word of the Lord.
Sometimes when we in church talk about children, we say that the children of the church are the church of the
future.
The church of the future. I want to challenge you to say that while that is true, it's incomplete. If you have ever been to a church that doesn't have children, they would be quick to tell you, we don't feel much like a church. Now, that's not true, of course. They are still a true church of Jesus Christ. They just are being down on themselves. But there is something important about the presence of children in church. This morning, you saw some of our children gather here to hear and be encouraged in their faith. Jesus says, Let the little children come to me. Why did he have to say that? It's a great story from the New Testament, from Luke's Gospel, also found in Matthew's Gospel. The parents were bringing, Luke says, even infants, bringing children to Jesus so he could touch them, so he could bless them. And the disciples try to protect Jesus somehow, try to fend these children off somehow, that if the children come to Jesus, there'll be problems. That sounds so strange to us. I mean, could you imagine someone not allowing a child to come to Jesus? Yet, I want to suggest to you that we still do it. I'm the preacher. It's one of my responsibilities to write all the stuff that goes in the bulletin, all the prayers. Did you notice that prayer of confession, how long it was? If you're going to participate, if you're going to pray that prayer, then you've got to be able to read. And we preachers love our big words. When I served a church in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, we had a children's ministry person on staff, and she would always take our prayers and mark them up and remind us that children don't understand all those words. She would challenge us to make sure we thought of the children in the pews. Could they pray this prayer authentically? Or do you remember? I remember when I was a little boy, I had to take a class before I could come to the Lord's table. Do you remember that? Did anybody else have to do that? It was called a communicants class. I think I was 5 or 6 years old. Apparently, we, the church, thought you had to know something up here before you could eat something right there. We had to understand what we were doing at that table. What's there to understand? We need to be fed, and there's food. An infant understands that. An infant knows when they're hungry, cries out, and needs to be fed. Are we any different? We need to be fed by the very hand of God, and so we come to the table to receive food. Oh, sure. There's a whole lot more going on here than just food and hunger. I get that. I know that. But do you really understand what's happening at this table? Or maybe you're like me. Every time I come, I learn something new about God's grace, about God's compassion, about God's challenge, about God's call and claim on my life. Quite frankly, every time I come to that table, I'm a different Chris. I've grown in some ways. I'm hurting in new ways. I have new challenges and new opportunities and new joys and new sadnesses. And I need to come. We set up boundaries. We, the church, put boundaries and barriers between children and God. And Jesus in the old King James from Matthew says, "Suffer the children to come unto me and forbid them not." Just a couple weeks ago, Will had this box and he invited our children to share dreams. He gave them 2 cards each. And he said, "Write down your dreams for the church. If you could dream for Westminster Presbyterian Church, what would you dream?" And he encouraged them to have silly dreams and serious dreams. Now, if you read your newsletter, you know what's about to come. But I want to share with you all of these dreams. I'm going to share the silly and the serious. I want you to listen. One child said, "I would like for kids to understand God." One child said, "For my church, I would like colored lights." One child said, "I would like kids to help out with worship." One child said, "I would like there to be drama, skits and acting in worship." One child said, "I wish there were more donuts." One child said, "I dream of a church picnic." One child said, "I dream of the children's group going on retreat." One child said there should be pajama day at church. One child said there should be hot chocolate with marshmallows for everyone. One child said the children's group should go out and do mission instead of waiting till their youth age. One child said we should meet new people. One child said instead of the Holy Catholic Church, it should be the Holy Chocolate Church. One child said the church should be made of donuts. Another child said we should do some fun other child said, the church should be made of candy. And if you were at the Halloween gathering, it was. One child said, there should be a breakfast bar. One child said, we should welcome more children into our church in the future. One child said, there should be a slide from the balcony. Dreams. Imagine. What could be? Now, you heard me say a couple weeks ago, and this will be a refrain, you'll get used to this. I believe whether you are 8 or 88, and there might be somebody older than that, all of us, young and old, from infant to grave, are children of God. We should all dream. I want to give credit. My son Charles was reading to me a book about Albert Einstein. And he read this quotation, and I share it with you. Albert Einstein said, if at first the idea is not absurd, then there's no hope for it. If at first the idea is not absurd, then there's no hope for it. I want to challenge those of us who are a little bit older as children of God not to so quickly dismiss those silly or absurd dreams. Dreams of our children or even our own. I mean, look at the Bible stories. Remember Abraham and Sarah? They were promised a child. You know how old they were when they had a baby? That's absurd! Sarah said it herself. You remember Moses? Moses is standing by the burning bush and God's talking to him and trying to tell Moses about his future, how he's going to lead the people of God out of slavery in Egypt. And Moses says, but I don't speak good. That's absurd. You remember Jeremiah? Jeremiah the prophet, in the very first chapter of his book, he tells us that God called him to be a prophet when he was just a little boy. A prophet to the nations. Now that's absurd, folks. Oh, do you remember That little girl, she was maybe, I don't know, we don't really know, maybe 12. I think her name was Mary. She wasn't married yet, but the angel said, you're going to have a baby and it's going to be God's son. And she said, what? Well, what she really said is, how can this be? In other words, translation, that's absurd. Or, wait, there was this guy. He talked about dying and then something about 3 days later being alive again. Now that is absurd. And do you remember the women? They went to the tomb early in the morning and said his body wasn't there. Do you remember what the disciples said? That's absurd. And let me tell you the craziest one. Craziest one of all. Is that God has entrusted the message of salvation for the world to you and me. Can you believe that? God has given us that. Wow, that is some sort of crazy. That's the kind of God we have. A slide from the balcony. Who knows what could be? We, years and generations after generations, continue to bring our children to Jesus. We in the Presbyterian Church, we bring our children to this font. And we as a community make promises to help raise this child in faith. Children of God. So I've been doing some research. I like to stay up on the newest and latest, greatest things when it comes to faith development. I'm a bit of a nerd that way. I watch webinars, I read books, I study on this stuff. So I took a class recently where they have done paper and pencil numbers, real research on faith development. How is it that a child and a teenager gets faith? How do they do that? You know what they found out is the number one influence on a child's life for faith? Their parents. That didn't surprise any of you. That's interesting. Maybe that's because you listened as David read the Deuteronomy passage where God says to the people to talk about these things. Did you hear that? To talk about these things when you're at home and when you're away, when you lie down and when you rise up. You're supposed to talk about your faith. Talk about who God is in your life and why it matters. Parents to their children. Grandparents to their grandchildren. That's what Deuteronomy 6 is about. Let's put it in modern language. So you're supposed to talk about your faith when you're at home. And when you lie down and when you ride and when you're away at travel ball, even there you have to talk about your faith. All those things that take you away on Sunday morning when you go to watch the Gamecocks win, you've got to talk about your faith. It's not just in church. Parents are the number one influence. You know what the number two influence is? Grandparents. Guess where church comes? Third. And guess where peer pressure comes? After that. Interesting. So the whole point of the workshop was if we have limited time, if we have limited resources, then how should we invest our energies? Well, if the number one influence in a child's life when it comes to faith are their parents, then we should invest in sharing with parents and grandparents how to share their faith with their children. I wonder, what do you dream? When you think about Westminster Presbyterian Church, what is your dream? Or maybe the better question is, what is God's dream? Now, those are very different, you see. Because I can tell you all about my laundry list of things I'd love to see, but it's a little harder when I ask, what is God's dream? That's not about me. We have to discern that in community together, and that takes hard work. Jesus says, if you don't become like a child, you will not receive the kingdom of heaven. Young and old together, we are the children of God. So will you dream, even if it seems absurd? Together, will you help us dream God's dream for this church?